Today's podcast is brought to you by our friends at Urban Float, the premier flotation therapy spa in the Mid-Atlantic. Experience the ultimate in weightless relaxation, as well as the healing benefits of 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. Call 302-232-3141 to book your next float or book online at urbanfloat.com. And use the code FIRSTTIME to get 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, and revive at Urban Float. 3, 2, 1, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well.
I feel like I can hear myself clear with these headphones on.
Well, that's the idea. It's so the headphones are always a funny topic because, you know, it looks cool. It's kind of professional.
Yeah.
But it's really to monitor yourself.
Yeah.
I always say it's really so we can hear ourselves, because if you can't hear yourself, we're not really recording you.
Yeah, absolutely. This is great.
So good morning. It's Sunday. It's early. I just had that, you know, where you can't find your phone. You know when you can't find your phone and it just throws you like your whole... My whole cyborg system just went out of whack.
It's attached to us now. It's become an extremity.
It's become, well, it has. It actually has become. I mean, you know, it's the first step towards, I don't know, having implants put into our brains or something. But we do rely on them.
Yeah, we do.
I obviously rely on it to communicate, but I don't like, you know, everything I do, I don't have to Google. I don't have to search everything.
Yeah.
But as far as music and then just being being in communication with family and stuff, it is a little strange. But there's at the same time, it's like, my phone's gone.
I know. I tend to... cool. My biggest mistake, I have like a new truck, and I tend to leave my phone in the most awkward area. I'm like, oh, I'll put on music. I don't put it in the cup holder. I put it on top of the cup holder. Yep. As soon as I hit my brakes, slides under the seat, away it goes, and I'm like,
Well, and of course I have to have a black phone because why? Black phones are cool.
Yeah.
But it blends in, like I stick it in this, you know, phone holder.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm getting out, especially at night, I forget it because it blends in with the dashboard.
Yeah.
I feel like they could I don't really feel like that holding the phone in the car on a mount has really been hit out of the park yet. I feel like it's still a struggle. Am I right?
Yeah, I think so. I have a cheaper version of it, and I like got rid of the thing. I just keep it in my cup holder right next to my hand because I would attach it to where it comes to like attach it to your AC vent.
Yeah, and then it blocks the air.
Yeah, it blocks the air, and then it slowly starts to make its way descent down to the floor.
Yeah,
it's almost like the rubber on it wears away after.
Well, mine has like two little feet that pop out.
Yeah,
have you popped the feet out, Brian?
It just.
Because that's important.
No, it just has a little spring, and you just open it, and it closes right on top of your phone.
Right, but doesn't at the bottom, there may be a blended foot.
No, I don't have a blended foot.
No, it's just
supposed to squeeze your phone
into place.
It's like
a peg leg. I mean, you hold your kids, and eventually you got to put them down. Yeah. It's the same effect.
Yeah, your arms get tired. Just slide out of your hand.
Well, and now they have the one where it actually has a mount that slides into your cup holder.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it yet.
But I only have two cup holders.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. The company that I work for, if I see new things like that, I try to squeeze them to pay for it. I'm like, can you buy this or two of them at least?
Cup holder. Well, if you have anybody in the, you know, in your car, you know, then it's a battle for the cup holder.
Yeah.
That's not why you're on here. We're not talking cup holders this morning, Brian. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it?
It is beautiful. This is a great time of year.
Yeah, it really is.
Beautiful time. I actually opened the door this morning, and, you know, it was a little chilly.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been riding my bike a little bit, and right away I thought, ooh, that might be too cold to ride my bike.
I rode my bike this morning.
Did you?
Yeah. I rode a little quick 5-miler. I live in a development right off of Route 30, and I got to stay in the development if I don't have a road. I used to have a road bike, and I used to go out on Route 30, but I have a mountain bike, so I try to stay in the development.
What? Now, what's the difference? Like, you can't go fast enough on the road?
I have a mountain bike, and it's like a Walmart mountain bike.
Okay.
So it's like, it gets the job done, but the road bike
The Humble Cycle?
Yeah, the road bike I did have, I used it for a triathlon in 2016. And that thing...
Did you complete the triathlon?
I did. I did, without stopping.
That's pretty freaking sweet. That
was my goal.
I would have that tattooed all over me.
That was my goal, too. It was just to complete it. I mean, the guys that were in the professional category, they got it done in like, it was like a half hour or so. I mean, it was ridiculous. It took me a little over an hour to complete it because the swimming really messed me up.
So what were the distances?
So it was a half a mile. It was the Bethany Beach First Responders Triathlon
in
September. put on very well. It was a half a mile ocean swim. It was a 18 mile bike ride, and it was a 4 mile run.
So, I could do that.
Yeah, it's a sprint.
The swimming part is where...
Swimming in the ocean's tough, and where I made that mistake was I would train in a pool. I'd go over to Howard T. Ennis and a couple times a week, and I would do laps. I'd do a mile total. But going in the ocean, especially when the current that morning was very choppy, it was like, I think it was like a week after we had a nor'easter around.
Oh, brother.
So I ended up doing that.
See, I'd been in the week with the nor'easter.
I get almost the way done. I had to kind of do this survival swim. A buddy of mine was in the Marines. He goes, man, if you get tired, he goes, this is the swim you want to do. So I had to do this little
side one.
Yeah. Kind of
side scissor.
Yeah. I kind of had to work my way to the side, a little backstroke, and then I let the tide take me in. But as soon as I got on the bike and the run, I mean, that was a breeze. It was a beautiful bike ride, too.
I could do the bike ride. I could definitely run 4 miles, but I think the swim is what would kill me.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, and I don't know if I can, you know, if I finish a triathlon, that's a whole nother level of amazing. Mm. I'm not sure I could stand it.
Yeah.
Just owning that, you know, that new badge.
Yeah.
Hey, did I mention I did a triathlon? Yeah, 10 times, Tom.
I wanted to do another one, but because I'm psychotic, I want to be prepared. I wanted to do better and better, and it takes a lot of time and preparation. When you have kids and a wife, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to have hobbies, so I found other new hobbies that kind of my son, my oldest, and I at least could do together. So, yeah.
No, that's a cool thing about having kids, boy or girl. You know, as soon as my kids, because I've always ran and did stuff, and they've always been like, where are you going? What's going on? Where are you going? I'm going to go for a run. Then finally, they're like, can I ride my bike with you? As soon as they could ride with me, they're riding.
That's awesome.
And then, where are you going? I'm going to go to the gym. Can I go? As soon as I could get them into the gym, or not get them in, you know, as soon as the gym would allow it.
As soon as they could occupy themselves.
Yeah, I mean, we used to go over to a body shop and, you know, but it was, you know, I was asking too much at the gym, you know, to have my little kids with me. So, but then, you know. They grew up, and now they get to be good to rise. And so I think it's definitely, whether it's exercise, eating, behavior, I mean, it's all kind of, you know, it's passed on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you definitely see, you know, people that are less active, maybe a little more into food. I don't know. But yeah. It tends to run in the family. And so it's definitely, you know, at this point in life, anything that you can do to help in the beginning is a plus.
First few years of a kid's life is very important, and I'm glad I got all my character defects together.
Identified?
I'm glad I identified all them and kind of sorted all those out before my kid, well, at least my oldest was old enough to realize what was going on.
that's a tough topic, character defects.
I know, and I have a laundry list of them.
Yeah, well, I think we all do, but you know, we work on them. You know, so I wanted to chat because you have a podcast.
I do,
and you know, it's funny because I was talking to Carlos the other day, and he goes, you know, you listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, and then you think you just think you want to have a podcast, so you try to make a podcast, and mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, well. That's what it's about, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't really pay, you know, I didn't go, well, I wonder who else has got a podcast in this area. I didn't, you know, pay attention. I know Brian Mann, he's doing one, Neva's Potatoes. And him and I have been talking and, you know, trying to promote one another because it's a bit of a tough gig. I mean, it's a real tough gig, honestly.
Yeah, it is.
And so I told him, I said, listen, you know, we should help one another. It's hard enough doing it by ourselves. So we've been helping each other. Yeah. But then I found out you were doing one, and I was like, oh, my gosh. So, and I love, you know, the more the better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was so, when you and I reached out to each other, I was like, man, this is great. Because I thought myself and another friend of mine were the only ones around. I thought podcast was a new thing, and, you know, Sussex County's still playing catch up with a lot of what's going on in the world. But,
It's not new.
It's no, it's not. It's not a new thing at all, but it's a fun hobby if you're somewhat of an entertaining person or if it's even if you're not even thinking about that, because I think in the beginning I put way too much thought into it, where I was like, oh, I want people to like it. I want people to listen to it.
Yep.
Naturally, all human beings are like that. But I got to a point where I got so comfortable with it that I don't really care pretty much what people think about it. It's just fun for me. People enjoy it. I get good feedback. I get decent listeners and guests, and it's just fun. I like talking to people.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Well, and you have to have a few degrees of separation, because you're never going to get, I mean, if I do a podcast and then I rely on everybody that's close to me to give me, you know, support, or to, you know, give me feedback, it's never great.
No.
Because there's that, it seems like there's half a group that wishes they were doing a podcast, so they're a little annoyed. You know, it's like, hey, did you listen to my podcast? Oh, I was going to try to, I had a little time next month, I thought I would take a second to listen to your 20-minute podcast. Oh, thanks. You know, so you know that there's more to that than the time.
Yeah.
And I get that. You know, there'll be people that'll say, you know, look at my family pictures. You're like, ugh. So I get it.
Yeah.
You need a couple degrees of separation, you know, to start to finally get some feedback to whether it's a decent podcast. And you know, I don't know if you can, what's your listeners like your level? Yeah, I mean,
numbers wise.
Yeah, numbers wise. I mean,
so
average. It doesn't
on average per episode. I mean, when I'm by myself and I don't have a guest and I'm losing my mind for a good 40 minutes.
Yeah.
On the microphone, I get like, you know, 50 listens on those. But if I have a guest, you promote each other. I had a recent guest on my last episode. He was an MMA fighter. So when he's
that was cool.
He's cross promoting with me, so I tend to get more, and it's more interesting. I feel like I'm better when I'm doing it with somebody else by myself. I used to go back and listen to my episodes, and you are your biggest critic, they say, and I would go, okay, I should probably hone in a lot of my points, because I tend to go all over the place, especially when you're in a room by yourself.
Well, that's what corporate says to me. You know, 70% of your podcast is about you. I'm like, well, my podcast.
Yeah, it's about my interest too. And if I have an interest in something and I'm not an expert on it, I have a guest on who knows more about what I'm into than I do.
Well, and I told corporate, I go, all I have is what, you know, my experiences. You know, if I'm sitting down chatting with someone, I try to relate by experiences that I've
had.
I'm just not full of, like, you know, worldly experiences of different things. Like, oh yeah, right. So it's, you know, it's sometimes all I can do is relate with my personal experience,
and that's it.
And I think it's great. I think there's a voyeurism to it. You know, people like to listen. Oh my God, it's just, it has that cool. As soon as it starts to become too, you know, laid out, too, where you start, you can expect what's next coming up.
Yeah.
It's like, then I feel like that kind of loses the fun of the podcast.
And there's really no authenticity in it either. I feel like I just let things flow, kind of like we just started this podcast.
Exactly.
People ask me do you write down points or do you have... I tried doing like special episodes in the beginning of just opinions on... People have different opinions on things. I used to call it Opinions May Vary. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to flip the mic on and I'm going to let it roll.
Yep.
That's all I got to do. And it's more authentic. It's allowing you to express yourself in a very natural, fluid way.
Well, and I think the biggest thing for me for podcasting, to the podcast I listen to, is consistency.
Yeah.
You know, if someone starts to like it, they're going to come back and they're going to expect it.
Yeah.
And then if you take like weeks off or... We went to... me, Sam, and David, my boys, went down to... Have you been to the place down on the avenue that does the virtual reality goggle glasses?
Is it kind of like an escape virtual reality?
Yeah, but
thing?
It says this is not an escape room.
Oh, it's not an escape room. Yeah, I haven't been there, but I'm going to check it out.
So I took the boys down there, I don't know, beginning of the summer, and let them play. And it's, you know, it's not super expensive, but it's definitely not cheap. I think it was $20 for a half an hour per person.
Jeez.
So I let them play, and they had such a good time. So I've been thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, that looked really fun. So I told them, I said, I want to go do it with them. So we went down on Friday, and we did this VFR? What's the name? I guess it's VFR, VRF.
Yeah, virtual reality.
Yeah, virtual reality stuff. Yeah. So you basically put the goggles on, and we were flying in this huge world. And it was really trippy. Because it's like, you know, I'd be like almost falling over because I felt like I was falling off a cliff because I'm literally flying in this big realm. Mm-hmm. And anyway, we had a lot of fun. So afterwards, we ended up talking to the guys that to the guy that owned it, and I asked him if he wanted to come on the podcast. And they're doing a podcast.
Oh, cool!
But they're going to come on the podcast. You know, super fun.
Yeah.
You know, my kind of lifestyle. You know, video games and goofing around and stuff. So they're going to come on. But they also said they're doing a podcast. And I was like, oh my god, that is awesome. He goes, but we're on a hiatus right now. I was like, oh. Hiatuses, I think, are trouble for podcasts.
You're right. They are, because when I first started, at least my first 30 episodes, I had consistency. It was like one or two episodes a week. It was a guest or myself. If I couldn't get a guest that week, hey, I'd flip the mic on and I'd talk about something that was going on in the world and that people would be interested in. Mm-hmm. Things started to change in life. I got a promotion at work, so I really wanted to hone in on learning more so in that job field. I got a job that's geared more towards like the degree that I'm in the middle of earning. So I was like, all right, maybe I should kind of hold off on the like organizing the podcast stuff because it becomes work after a while. You're calling people, you're texting, hey, you want to be a guest? You got to set it up. You got to take an hour or two out of your day to do it. So for like a month, I put it on hiatus, and I had people complain. People were reaching out to me like, why haven't you done any podcasts? And I'm like, yeah, I probably should have at least said something to my listeners. Like, hey, I'm taking a bit of a break. Got a lot going on at home. Got a lot going on at work. I got to kind of put this hobby to the side a little bit. But now I'm starting to pick things back up with it.
What's your goal? I mean, do you have a goal? One a week, consistently, two a week, consistently?
Yeah, consistently one a week, at least. If I could bang in two, that's great. But one, I think, they say content is key, especially on the internet. Yeah. A lot of I know a couple YouTubers. The guy I work with actually has a YouTube page. It's really interesting. He said consistency is just key. Or if you don't put anything up, you're gonna fall in those virtual cracks of the internet, and you're gonna go away if you don't put anything up.
Well, I told you before, I love Joe Rogan's podcast, and he's pretty consistent. He puts up quite a few podcasts, and. Yeah. I think he went on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and all of a sudden there wasn't one. I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, he went to Italy or something for like 12 days.
Yeah.
I saw that, man.
His car got shit on at the airport. Did you see that? By cats.
Just shit all over his car.
Shit all over his car. Yeah. His truck, actually, I think it was. But I'm like, oh, geez, what's going on? Where's Joe now? I think he probably had maybe posted something on Twitter about being at it. But I don't follow him on Twitter.
No, I'm on Instagram, and then I'm subscribed.
I follow him on Instagram.
I'm subscribed to his podcast, obviously. I mean, he's the 300-pound gorilla of podcasting. I mean, he's it.
But, you know, what's great about Joe Rogan's podcast is sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes I don't particularly care for the guest. He had that Miss Pat on a couple weeks ago. Oh, she's a comedian, and she's probably funny, but she was so... She was so loud. I don't know what it was, but I was like, you know, I watched it. I watched part of it. I didn't watch maybe the whole thing, but, you know, she got on my nerves. But, you know, I still love Joe Rogan's podcast.
Yeah.
You know, so it just shows me that, you know, not every podcast is perfect.
No.
You know, but it's just something that you know, it's a habit.
It's content, and that's what it is. And I try to mirror mine. I don't, you said in the beginning, you listen to Joe Rogan and you think you could podcast. I just like his because he's got so many different people on. I mean, he's got the MMA community. He's got the martial arts community.
Comics.
Politicians he's had on. People running for president. Astrophysicists. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's the shit I really like.
Yeah.
You know, that dark stuff.
Dark
matter.
That real deep shit.
Yeah,
real deep stuff.
Because, and I don't understand any of it, but I'll just watch. I'm like, I don't get it, but I dig it.
Yeah, Joe's got to drink or smoke weed when he's listening to these guys because he's like, I feel like you're blowing my mind.
Did you see him
right
when
now.
He had Elon Musk on?
Oh, yeah.
Is that fucking weird or what? I mean, Elon was like, he was like a robot. He was like downloading data as he was chatting. Yeah,
he's a special individual.
He's really special.
He really is, man. I'm like, it's not like an attack on anybody with like autism or Asperger's or anything, but he almost seems like he's kind of has like Asperger's or something, that he's honed in and focused on something that he's doing. I mean, I read his biography, and that guy doesn't sleep. He doesn't really shower. He puts everything into what he wants to do.
Well, I don't know how many years ago it was, but Joe Rogan had Alex. Is it Alex Reed? Who's that crazy guy?
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. But Alex Jones was, you know, blurting out all this.
Interdimensional child molesters coming through, right?
Right, exactly. But he was putting out all this stuff, and then basically Elon Musk basically said the same stuff. All that same exact kind of that weird stuff. But since Elon said it, it sounded like we were like, oh, that's serious.
That's serious. And he got him high, too. Didn't he get him high in that
I episode? Don't know if he inhaled.
Yeah, it kind of looked like he just blew it out.
Yeah, he just blew it out.
But it became like a very popular meme now. It was like him trying some weed, and then it just blew up after that. And then his Tesla stocks went down after that, apparently, too.
Well, and I love how the fact that people say, oh, you know, Tesla's in trouble. No, they're not. They're not in trouble.
He's not in trouble.
There might be in trouble, maybe all these, you know, hands out might not be making as much money, but that is a beautiful car, great idea. He does it very well, and
they're having a hard time. Where they're having the trouble is he's trying to make an affordable model. Mm. He's trying to make a $30,000 electric car, and I'm sure it's not easy to do that because I think your average Tesla is at least $100,000. I think the Roadster is like $250,000.
No.
Let's stop.
Hit the brakes, bro. I think you can probably get a three for about
$40,000. Okay. Was that the three? Okay.
The three. That was the whole.
I gotta pay attention to that some more.
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole idea. I mean, they advertised it at 35, but after, you know, you got all the bells and whistles, it was still up to about $50,000. Right. I think that they've gotten that even down a bit.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot on the road.
That's good to know, because I've looked into them myself.
Yeah, there's a lot of threes out there. They're not paying $100,000 for those cars. They're pumping them out like Camrys.
I probably still have his biography in my head, because I try to keep up with that, but when it first came out,
the Roadster. There was the X. The X is over $100,000.
Yeah.
And I think the S is probably, in the beginning, was probably over $100,000. But the 3 and the Y, did you ever realize that if you spell out all the letters of the Tesla cars, that it spells sexy? The S? Well, he couldn't get the E. So he used
the
3.
He would do something like that.
So it's the S, the 3, the X, and the Y.
Interesting.
And I told my wife, I'm all, am I the only person who realizes that says sexy? And she goes, I didn't even realize it. And then we were at the boardwalk the other day, and this guy had a Tesla shirt, and it said sexy. I was like, honey.
I knew
it. Right there, I told you.
I knew it. That's funny.
Me and Elon, we're brilliant.
Yeah. That's funny. I didn't even realize that. Yeah, I try to keep up with that kind of stuff. I genuinely am interested in people that are just not from this planet or come off like they're not from this planet. I'm not Mr. Current Affairs. Sometimes I can't watch the news or try to keep up with that stuff, or I feel like my brain's fried.
No, dude, the news is annoying. And I nothing is more annoying than the news telling me that news agency are trying to make me think a certain way, when it's actually our own personal, own local news agencies that's trying to make us think a certain way.
Yeah.
They want to blame the Russians, you know, through Facebook, all this.
Yeah.
Okay. The Russians are making us, they're posting things that make us angry, and then we fight amongst each other.
Yeah.
No. ABC News is doing that.
That's what the news is. I mean, it's essentially become an extremity in itself. I mean, we look at our phones. We were just talking about our phones. It's our extremity now. I mean, when they came out with news radio, everybody was tied to it. I mean, that was the way for them to mold us.
I feel like our lives changed when that little girl fell in the well. I don't even know if you remember that. That may have even been before your time, but this little girl fell in a well in Texas. Do you remember that?
I think I've heard the story. But
yeah, she fell down a well, and then we all went, and it's right when CNN kind of started doing 24-hour news.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, we were on this 24-hour news cycle of this little girl stuck in the hole.
Oh, my God.
And I think she was down there for probably 5 or 6 days, and they finally got her out. But we all went in our backyards and to see if we had a well in our backyard. You know, it all of a sudden made the world local.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, you know, people say, well, you should let your kids play. You know, kids, when I was a kid, we played outside until the lights went out.
I was just thinking that.
And I was like, well, we could do that too, but we have to sit outside and watch them because, you know, now everyone's snatching kids. Everybody's getting stolen. And it's really not what's happening, at least not here.
Yeah. At least I haven't
heard
anything.
One kid gets stolen. Yeah, right. Exactly. It's crazy. I think that's why we die. We just can't take it. So the so podcasting, I mean, are you back on your schedule?
Yeah, I'm back on it. Well, what I'm doing right now is I have a guest. I actually have another. It's funny. I started this Chain Reaction. I had a friend of mine on who has his own podcast. He's a bit of a stand-up comedian. And I just had this chain start back up again where I was like, oh, kind of sparked new life into it. Where I kind of – where I became almost exasperated by it was not only just from working home. I would line up guests. You'd line up a guest. And mm-hmm. I used to have them booked like, you know, a couple weeks out.
Yep.
And then the day comes, or the day before, and all of a sudden they're flaking out on you.
Yep.
And it happened, it started happening consistently. And I'm like, well, shit, like, okay, what am I supposed to do? So I would post an episode by myself. And I'm like, ah, nobody wants to listen to me by myself. It sounds like I'm losing my mind for 40 minutes.
We're terrible against, we're our worst enemy.
Yeah, we are. We are. But no, I know now that I've listened to it, I've definitely improved in talking to people, letting people finish. You know what I mean? Because there was one thing that I was very bad at, and I think it runs in my family, or at least in my genes, where everybody's talking over each other. They're at the dinner table, and two people are cross-talking, you're cross-talking, nobody's letting each other finish, and I've definitely improved. My wife will even tell you, I allow people to finish before they before I chime in.
Well, it's funny, because I definitely can relate to that, because I've experienced that too, but there's also, you know, you start doing something and it's kind of working and you're starting to build and then more people get involved and all of a sudden you get opinions and then you're like, yeah. Geez, should I not do that? But the thing is that that's kind of what got you where you're at.
Yeah.
And now you get more people in your life and then they want to start saying, oh, well, you know, you talk over people or you make it all about me or, you know, mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you want to change it. You know, we've kind of been doing that the same thing with this podcast. You know, I started doing it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, why can't I do a podcast?
Yeah. You know?
So I start doing it and then start building and then more people come into your life. And then we start figuring out ways that we can be value to people. Mm-hmm. And then we have to start trying to change the podcast around so that we're of value. But I'm like, well, I didn't start the podcast to be a fucking value. I started the podcast so I could just ramble and talk to my friends.
Yeah.
Well, now we have to be valuable to people because they're going to have an agenda because they want to promote something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, is that why they're here? Or did they fall in love with the fact that there was no agenda prior to the agenda being talked about?
Yeah, it goes back to being authentic. It does, because when you have people on, as you said, you have an agenda. You want to get people on that are known in the community. They promote your podcast. People will come back and they listen. But then you lose the purpose of it. I mean, life is trying to find the purpose of it, right? So it's like, what was my purpose in doing this podcast? Oh, because I want people to listen, of course, but it's a good bit of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. People love talking to me, and I've had people push me to it, like, hey, Brian, you know, you're fun to talk to. You're a pretty witty guy. You're this, you're that. Hey, man, you should just jump on a microphone and see what happens. And I'm like, I had this thought out in my head for like, not a year, but I'd say like at least 9 months where I'm like, I want to start a podcast. I'm like, then what am I procrastinating for? Buy two microphones, get yourself a computer with some free software and go to town and see what happens.
Well, it is a little bit of an intimidating mountain. I mean, you know, and then throw our brains into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when I was starting, I'd do a podcast, and at night I'd watch Joe Rogan's podcast. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm even bothering to do this podcast for. I'm not getting, you know, Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. I did send an email to Joe Biden to see if he'd come on my podcast.
Yeah, yeah, did you? Did he get back to you?
Crickets.
Well, and then that usually happens.
So after I did that, then I'm like, oh my God, are they going to do a background check on me? Are they going to... the Secret Service over? I mean, and then I was like, you know, I thought about writing, never mind, I was just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was like, well, I better not do that either.
Yeah, you start kind of getting in your own head, because when I had people like flake out on me last minute, a lot of my good close friends don't live around here anymore, and I'm like, man, it'd be great if you guys all lived around here still. We could all just do it together all the time. That's what would made it fun, because my friends and I had conversations that, oh God, if you were a fly on the wall in that room,
mm-hmm.
you would be laughing your ass off.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of put me on a setback. Like, am I doing this right? Do people listen to my podcast and go like, fuck that, I ain't going on his podcast. That guy is way too much to say. And my opinions, at least my political opinions, because that's the new fun thing to talk about.
It's politics.
Politics. You should talk about politics. I try to steer away from it, but I end up getting sucked into it because everybody knows how I am. And they're like, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I want to hear your opinion on this. So I'm like, all right, I'll talk about it. I'm like, why? I'm like, wait a minute. I like sports. I like working out. I like mixed martial arts. I like doing shit like that. What do I know about foreign affairs in Iran?
I like talking politics with myself.
Yeah.
I don't like talking politics with anybody that's going to disagree with me and that I'm going to have to argue with.
Yeah. Well, because people get emotional, right? I mean, it's your tribe. This is my tribe over here. This is my tribe. There's no in between anymore. Even though I feel like in the world today, at least the people that I run into, you're starting to find more of an in between, because I think people are just exasperated by what's gone on in the world the last 5 years, or how politics in itself, people are figuring out that it's just kind of a weird life, I guess, right?
Well, and it's, you know, if you saw, like, because Bernie Sanders was on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Yeah, I listened to it.
And it was a great podcast. And actually, I really liked Bernie Sanders, and I liked some of the stuff he talked about, you know, healthcare.
Mm.
Healthcare is a big deal.
It is. It's a big thing,
especially when you have kids and you're, and then, you know, free college, you know, making college free to everybody. It's a great idea. I mean, it's ridiculous.
There's no easy solution to it. The thing where we're, and I like it, and I think I like Bernie, because I feel like Bernie is to, like, the left wing people is what Donald Trump is to some of the right wing people. He's the outside of the box thinker. He's the guy that's saying different stuff, and I see it. I like Bernie. I'm like, I'm affiliated with no political party.
Me neither.
I was a Republican, and then after,
there's some things Trump does that I like.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm
exactly.
I'm a centrist. Is that what it is?
I guess an independent, if you will. I mean, I'm a registered independent, because if you have to be a part of anything, I guess I'm like, look, if this guy's not being a wackadoodle, and I like some of his stuff, I try to put that imaginary scale in front of me and go, which way does all these issues lean? You know what I mean? They're never easy decisions. They never are.
It's never easy. And we're in such a place right now with communicating with other people about it that it's, you can't have a discussion.
No.
You just cannot have a discussion. People, I remember when Obama won the presidency, I lost a client because I liked Obama.
Mm.
I didn't necessarily like Obama. I just was so, I was so tired of Bush, I guess, at the time, that I was just, you know, I just was like, this seems like a great guy. And this lady's like, I can't stand Obama. I can't do, you can't do my hair anymore. I can't stand the fact that
and it's
like
all for dog shit reasons, too.
Money.
Even Trump, wherever, which way you ever go, it's, okay, I don't like Trump. He colluded with the Russians. That doesn't sound like a good excuse to me to not, especially with bullshit like colluding with the Russians. You know what I mean? It just...
My problem with Trump is I think that as an adult man, he should be able to refrain a bit. You know, you say, you know, you think through it. You think through the comment. You think through, you know, what is it?
Speak before, think before you speak, right?
Right. What is it? pen and tongue.
Restraint of pen and tongue.
Restraint of pen and tongue and text. I mean, you
or
really.
Or tweet.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you have to have a little coot.
You're right.
And he struggles with that.
You're right. And you look at Obama. He was very, I mean, he was one of the classiest guys you ever seen on. I mean, he
absolutely
was statesman-like, very, very gentlemanly-like. I'm like, man, this guy is good. He's a very good statesman. You look at Donald Trump, you go from one, you went from one extreme to the other there.
But then the worst part is I really liked Obama, but then I hear that really Obama didn't do much for the country. And I was like, huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did save us out of that financial problem, but really he saved the financial people out
he
of
just
the financial
bailed,
problem.
He bailed them out. That's what he did.
And I think that's what Bernie said. You know, the financial people need to bail us out.
Mm.
We bailed them out.
It swings one way. I mean, if you look at history, it's almost like that's what it did. It went Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican. Are all these issues really being tackled for in the few hundred years our country's been around? I mean, it's like these issues that they're talking about nowadays are just hard to tackle. Well, is anybody going to be able to solve them in 8 years?
I think the two biggest issues in my life are healthcare and college.
Yeah.
Healthcare and college. I think they're two huge problems.
Yeah.
Even the, you know, it's funny, even the people that used to kind of get, you know, there was the, before we had that, you know, the big change in healthcare, like, you know, I remember I had hurt my back and I couldn't get any insurance because I had a pre-existing condition for my back.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they finally, there was that camp, and then there was the camp that didn't have any pre-existing conditions that kind of were like, sweet, insurance is great. And we're over here going, no, it's not. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. So then they make a big change, and now we have this, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, dental, you know, I have dental insurance, but nobody will take it. It's like, well, what's Jesus a freaking Christ. And then they won't pay for anything. It's like, that is the biggest issue.
Yeah.
It's a huge chunk of money that goes out. I mean, I work. I have a decent job. I work a lot, in fact. And mm-hmm. But that's the big thing that affects my family. And then, you know, David, my son, he's going to be a freshman. But a good friend of mine, and you know Scott, he's got $100,000+ in student loan debt. Yeah. And he's like, I've only been paying on the interest. He goes, yeah. I'm a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
I missed something here.
Is it true that you, not default, but after 10 years, if you've had a loan like that, they just kind of write it off? I've read that somewhere, and I'm not sure if that was some clickbait.
I doubt it.
You know what I mean? Like after 10 years, if you don't pay for it, it just kind of goes away.
I doubt it.
I'm sure that's a fantasy land, but...
Well, I mean, I don't... I guess maybe that's maybe 10 years of paying the interest...
Well, as you could,
I doubt it's 10 years of I just haven't paid anything, and now they're just going to, you know, let it wash away. I doubt that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's.
But that's I tough. Feel like that's a two. And then, you know, obviously, you know, the border, but the border seems. I don't know. We went to Mexico for our honeymoon, and I just had such an amazing time down in Mexico. Just. And I almost feel like there's some lessons to be learned from people that work down in Mexico.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how to work.
They work hard.
They work hard.
They work hard. They really do. And there's never any problems down in Mexico. And the crisis at the border, if you want to call it a crisis, it's really not even Mexicans coming here. It's people that are below that. It's the Guatemalans, the Ecuadorians coming up through Mexico that are trying to get into the country because they live in countries where this shit has gone awry and they just want a better way of living.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of where we're at today. There's their story, Trump's story, and then the truth.
Yeah.
And I guess the truth is what we have to try to figure out.
Truth is always somewhere in the middle, isn't it?
I mean, I lived in San Diego, right on the border.
Did you?
We never had, there was people, I guess, coming over, but I tell you what, you go down to like Encinitas in the morning and on every corner, there's a group of guys ready to work and there was a bunch of people picking them up, doing work every day. It's just how it was down there.
You want a better life. I mean, believe me, if anybody who's a fan of, I guess, law and order, I try to respect the law of the land, which we have. But then I also look at it from a humanistic perspective, too. I mean, I'm Irish. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't done the DNA tests. I've just looked at family stories and family history, but I run really pretty deep from that land. And we were outcasts over in Europe. The English wanted us out. Nobody wanted us there. I had family members, evidently. I have to find this out through 23andMe or Ancestry, but family stories show that, you know, my family members jumped off boats to get here and tried to come into Ellis Island. And I also had apparently a great-grandfather who didn't go into Ellis Island, who went around before the Panama Canal was put in play. He went around the tip of South America and went over to California. And my aunts and uncles that could tell you my family history would say he was running from something.
Yeah, probably.
He didn't want to go into Ellis Island. But that's where, you know, you try to be in between. You try to find yourself feeling for people. You want people to have a better way of living. But then again, you're like, if you let them all in, you can't save them all either.
Well, and don't you think that it's just being influenced by the news? Can you imagine if you didn't have the news? Maybe if we just had a bulletin. No hurricane today. No hurricane today. Mm. Have a great day. Yeah. That was our data for the day.
Right.
I'd be like, oh, okay. Well, no hurricane, so we're good. And then just went on about life.
There's just way too much information. That's why people are going crazy nowadays. I mean, the human brain can only take so much information before it's, I don't know, you start feeling a little cuckoo, maybe.
Well, and then, you know, they say that we're being influenced by the Russians, but we're being influenced by us.
Yeah. We're being influenced by each other. And that's why, like, with my phone, it's funny because I just got a new phone. And I had a flip phone for the longest time.
My phone's not here.
I know.
I miss you.
I had a flip phone for the longest time, believe it or not. Longest time.
I want to get a flip phone, but then there's a part of me that thinks that I'm just being some fucking annoying asshole that's got to have the flip phone and be like, I only have a flip phone.
I only have a flip phone.
I love my phone.
Yeah, I enjoy the phone too. Sometimes I find myself, everybody does, they find themselves staring at it a little too long. And I've even admitted to my wife, I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at? Like, I'll be at my phone just flipping through shit. And I'm like, what am I even looking for?
I get stuck on these Facebook videos where there's, it's like, you know, this giant flood comes down out of the mountains and I don't know, some crazy place and, you know, washes away half the village. Yeah. And then the next video slides in. I'm like, oh, and I just, I do it for about a half hour. It's my time.
And those algorithms, they're going to keep those kind of videos just fucking flying at you as soon as you sign into Facebook too.
I got into this one the other day about these parachute accidents. It was brutal, and I watched one. One was this guy, this base jumper that hit the crossover bridge, and I remember when he. I remember that story. I remember when he was alive. I remember he was big in the base jumping community early
I think
on.
I remember that.
Remember he had his, like a shaved head or a buzzed head.
I mean, you could fucking hear him.
He hits
right into the fucking bridge,
and he basically got chopped in half, and his top half parachuted down to the ground, and his bottom half just turned to liquid.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't think I've seen the actual full, but did they show that on a video?
There's a guy that's filming it. He hits it.
You hear him hit it,
You
right?
hear him hit it, and they show the rail. His rail's bent, but they show his upper half parachuting down.
Jesus Christ.
And I remember when it happened because there was a lot more interviews and a lot more of his friends that were talked to or interviewed when it happened, but... I somehow was watching this guy filming his girlfriend base jump off a cliff with a video camera. He's like, you know, he's filming her. All right, baby. Bye. She jumps off and he's filming her all the way down. All right, baby. Pull it, babe. And she never pulls it.
Oh, geez.
She just goes right into the ground. And I couldn't even watch. I was like, oh my God, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Then I had to get out of that one because that was a little too dark.
Yeah.
I like the floods and stuff.
Yeah,
floods.
You go into that, and then you get like the tags that algorithm on YouTube or Facebook or even the internet nowadays. I mean, if you and I are discussing extreme videos right now, and I guarantee you, when I look on my phone, I'm gonna have an update of extreme videos or something because they fucking listen to you. Do you feel like that when you're talking about something?
I wonder if I'm just such an open book that I'm entertained by so many different things.
That could be true.
I mean, you could put a nice tomato. I'd be like, ooh, tomato, that's nice. You know, I
then you go on. Then you go on your Amazon, and it's tomatoes are fucking half price or something. Drone delivery.
Well, and I just, you know, do I wonder? Are we that gullible?
Yeah.
Are we? No, we're not, no. Brian. We're not.
Yeah.
I mean,
some people are.
You know. I guess, but you know, they talk about it all the time. Oh, Facebook's putting stuff into to aggravate us. And I go, when do we start going? Well, I that looks like something that they just put into my Facebook. I mean, do we have any sense to us at all?
I don't know nowadays. I mean, well, look, I mean, I sure do,
and
I'm only being sarcastic when I say that. It's like sometimes I feel you're having a discussion, and all of a sudden you're on your phone. And you're like, holy shit, I feel like I was just talking about that. I need a new pair of, I don't know, of Adidas or something.
Right.
And you go on to Facebook and you see the advertisements. Oh, they have Adidas on Amazon for sale or some shit.
Right.
Did you ever like feel like that? Oh, coincidentally.
No, you know what happens to me is I'll buy something and then it starts becoming in my feed all the time.
Yeah.
Well, and I mentioned I bought these new UA, I don't even know what they're called. But
they're like headphones.
They're Bluetooth, but you can also plug them in. But they're fitted. They're like musician style. They're fitted into your ears. So you stick them in and they're fitted and they stay there and the wires come around.
Yeah.
And they've been hitting me hard. I mean, for a month, every morning, there they are.
Hey, if you're buying this, you need this to go with it.
And you know what? We bought them. I really wanted something like that. So they just showed up at the right time. They read my mind. And if they're doing that, you know,
hats
off to them. They nailed it.
They're doing their job.
I bought them. But now they're still. I bought them. They're done. They're on their way.
Yeah.
But here they are. They're still in my feed. I mean, so I feel like they could do a little bit better job there. But I feel. I mean, it's like everybody wants to dumb us down. Oh, you know, here's a picture of a piece of pizza. Now I'm going to have to eat pizza. Like I can say, no, I'm not eating pizza right now. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. You and I aren't that gullible, but some people they tend to be. They tend to.
Well, shame on them.
They get programmed, if you will. As we talked about, that phone is your extremity now. And then pretty soon Elon Musk is going to have implants in our heads, and we're not going to have phones anymore. We're going to be able to do everything using our brains. We're going to know everything.
I'm cool with that. I mean,
Neuralink. That's what it's called.
Well, and that's the other thing.
Right?
Exactly. And that's the other thing is that, you know, people want, you know, they say like Dick Tracy or the Jetsons or, you know, that. How cool would that be? Good morning, George. The weather is this. And, you know, and you're like, oh, my God, how awesome would that be? It is awesome. But they have to at least know where you're at to tell you where the clouds are at and stuff, right? So
sure.
To have some of that stuff, you're going to get tracked a little,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it's, I guess, six of one, half dozen of the other. Is that what they used to say?
It all depends on, I guess, your personality and how you're looking at things. Like with the flip phone thing, I didn't have a conscious thought that, fuck smartphones. Really, I was like just trying to save money because I ended up I had an iPhone and I was like, well, it started with this. I had an iPhone. One day it just stopped working. I didn't drop it. I took care of it. I think 3 days after the warranty was up, all of a sudden the SIM card reader malfunctioned and I took it to AT&T and they were like, well, there's nothing we could do about it. And I'm like,
conspiracy.
This
Brian.
Is a weird
we conspiracy.
I
going
said,
on
"This
right
is."
Here.
I find it weird that a few days after the 1 year warranty, all of a sudden my phone's not working. Yeah, but that's. He said sometimes they malfunction. You can go through Apple. They'll try to do that. It seemed like at the time I think I just had a sour ass attitude, and I was like, "Just give me the biggest piece of shit you got in the store," and that's what I did. I ended up going like, "Ah, you know what?
Like an Android or something?
Screw it." I said, "Give me this," and they gave me this Kyocera flip phone. You know, they're like the ones that the elderly people have with the big numbers on them?
Flutterfly or Butterfly, whatever that thing. Firefly.
Yeah, I had that. I had that for like a year or so.
Jitterbug.
Then, yeah, but they almost want you to get the smartphone anyway, so it's like, yeah, they're not made very well. So I ended up going back. I have a Galaxy now. I switched from the iPhone to the Galaxy, I guess.
I love having a smartphone, and I love using it for the camera. That's really about it.
Oh, yeah. Take great pictures. Especially the Galaxies, man. These Notes. I don't know what kind of phone you have. But
I have an iPhone. I will never have a different any other phone than an iPhone.
iPhone is more convenient. I am finding out through the apps on the Samsung that I'm trying out. They're not the greatest with the apps.
Nope.
Apple really is a lot more. It's
the only
more
people that will tell you that they're better are the people that own those. Deep inside, they want an iPhone.
Yeah. I just wanted to try it out. You know what I mean? Like, we ended up switching to Verizon, and I was like, I'll try the Galaxy. We'll see what happens. It takes great photos.
But even a Galaxy, even the brand new Galaxy, when I take a photo with it, it has a little bit of a delay.
Yeah.
Just enough delay. The delay is just enough for me to think iPhone's better. During that small delay, I go, oh, iPhone's better.
God, when the iPhone came out, that phone is a George Jetson phone, isn't it?
Dude, I love
the
iPhone.
You could do everything.
Well, and I'm the kind of guy, I still have my 3.
Man.
I still have my own iPhone 3. I keep all of them. I don't trade them in. And I pass them on. So I had a 6, then I went to the 7. I gave my 6 to my son David. Then I got I never had an 8. I went right to the X.
Did you?
And I gave my 7 to, so my 7 went to David. The 6 went to Sam. And the batteries, you know, there's the whole battery gate.
Mm-hmm.
And we went over to Delmarva Repair right over there by Floors and More.
Yeah.
And they changed the battery for us. I put new batteries in both of their phones, $40 each.
Yeah.
And now they're the cycle-free batteries. So they, you know, because you used to have to plug it in and had to get a full charge.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to always try to full charge it. If you only did a half charge, it would affect it would ghost the battery. So you only.
Yeah.
So these new cycle-free batteries, and now they both have new batteries in their phone, and they work. I honestly think the iPhone 6 had a better camera than the camera that we have now on the X or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of time-lapse and stuff with them.
That's cool. Yeah, the time-lapse, the features that they have on there are great, especially time-lapse, too. I find that you have to leave it plugged into a charger, though, after a while. If you want to do, like, an hour time-lapse, I felt like the phone would die so quick.
Well,
That shit would die.
Delmarva Repair.
Cycle-free batteries.
Well, and shout out. I do a lot of, and I don't know if you, I think you maybe have seen some of my time-lapse, but I sent him to this guy who said he'll come on, he's going to come on the podcast. Now, let's see. I'm not going to say his name because he said I can't talk about his day job, but he flies the state trooper helicopter.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You know, I might have met that guy because,
Eric,
what's his name?
Eric.
Okay, because I took my son to arenas in Georgetown at the airport.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, my oldest, my mother and I took him there, and he was eating lunch there, and he's like, hey, he's like, you like helicopters? And he let us come in to where they parked the helicopters at the Georgetown airport. And we got to sit in the airplane and the helicopters and all that. Oh,
he's a great guy. He actually teaches the drone class.
No kidding.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. And I send him all my time lapse. Not all of them. I send him like the dramatic ones. Like we had that storm we had on Wednesday.
I think I saw that. Did you use a GoPro to do that?
That one was done with the GoPro because it was going to rain.
Yeah.
And GoPro, the 7 is waterproof.
Okay.
But if it's going to, well, and I haven't had a good, I haven't had a good iPhone to do the time lapse with. So I got the new batteries for the kids, but I'm like, where's your phone? I need to do a time lapse. But it works great now.
Yeah.
But like for color, if it's going to be really full of color and stuff, I try to use an iPhone. But if it's just dramatic, I use the GoPro. But I sent him that, and he uses those that footage in his drone classes to talk about how clouds and stuff affect the air. Yeah.
Yeah, a guy I work with, well, a buddy of mine, Rick, he has a YouTube page called Redneck Manufacturing, and he's into he builds his own drones.
Give that guy a shout out.
Yeah, he builds his own drones. I've had him on the pod. He's an
what's his name?
Rick Garloff. He was part of Pumpkin Chunkin.
Okay,
he had a canon called Chunkinology.
Cool.
He was on like the Science Channel when they were on the
what's his Discovery podcast? Channel.
He's his YouTube page is
YouTube
Redneck Manufacturing.
All right, well, let's give him a shout out. We help everybody.
He puts up a video a week, and he's a smart guy. He knows everything, I feel like. He definitely, and he's a character too. When you get him all fired up,
I told him around I was here?
Like, yeah, he is. He's right over in Georgetown.
We got to get him on the podcast.
He's right over in Georgetown. He's a character too. I would love, we were doing a formal interview when I was first starting out. So I was like talking to him in his shop. We were talking about things he manufactures. His whole thing with Redneck Manufacturing, he just gets things, he repairs them, videotapes it, puts them on YouTube. Builds things, tries to invent little things, and he invented something. Yeah, the Rail Runner. It was like this, like almost this little cart he designed to put on train tracks. He got in trouble because you were not supposed to go on like the state train tracks.
No,
but that video blew up. I think he's got like a few hundred thousand views on this video.
Wow!
And then he ended up just putting up a video a week, and content's key, even though some of them might be boring, as he says. He's like, yeah, you know, this video probably sucks, but you know what? It's something. Somebody's going to get something out of it. But
I did a vlog for a while with drones and time lapse and okay. Drone footage and talking into the camera. I did that. I did maybe like 100 of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those were fun. And I remember. But in the end, I got in my own way. I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing this. It's so stupid. Because I would put in copyrighted music. I mean, it was so they would never get, they would get flagged.
You get tagged and shit like that. Yeah.
I didn't care. But I never did. I don't seem to do anything for money except for cut hair.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. But at the end, I was like, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares. And then I stopped doing it. And people were sending me messages. Where's the vlog?
Yeah.
You should just do a vlog of you talking. I'm like, oh, no. No, not doing that.
People
now
miss
here
it.
We are.
People miss it. They do. I mean, you got a great thing going too. How long have you been doing this?
What?
Podcasting.
The podcasting? Yeah. 3 months.
And you got more episodes than I do. I only got like 54 episodes up because, again, I hit that little hiatus where I got in my own way, sort of, but I wanted to focus on, I think, the more important things in life. And eventually, yeah, I got back to it. I started doing it again. And people were complaining, hey, where'd the podcast go? Why don't you have any more episodes? What's going on here?
Well, and I talked to you about it a little bit on the phone. I want to start, and I told you, I want to make a podcast company. I want to have an umbrella of people doing podcasts because I think as a group, we have a better chance of trying to build an audience. Just figuring out ways to compensate people for doing podcasting, I guess. Are you making any money doing podcasting?
I have. You know what? I started advertising. My wife started a little candle business. It actually started out as a hobby. She got tired of buying Yankee candles at $30 a pop. And she's like, I'll make soy candles with cotton wicks. Or naturally, they burn cleaner because they're not induced with paraffin. Paraffin's a byproduct of petroleum. So she's like, I'll make my own. It'll be natural and healthy. So people found out she was making candles, and they're like, hey, you're selling them. And all of a sudden, that turned into something. So I started advertising things for her. So she had promo codes on her website. If you listen to the podcast and use the promo code, you got it on that. She still does that, but we kind of found out it was more of a seasonal thing.
Yeah.
I think, again, when I hit that little blip, I was like, all right, well, when I start doing it, I'll just maybe try crowdfunding. The crowdfunding, I feel like Patreon was a little weird to work through, and I was like, okay, well, we'll try.
Is that where
else.
People buy a subscription to you?
They sort of. So if they like what they hear, they can go on there. It's they're donating to your cause, and then you offer them gifts. You offer them like tiers. If they donate 100, they get a free I don't know.
Candle
or something. I didn't have it set up like that. If you donated like $5, you got a couple stickers or something like that. I had like one tier, and it was cool and all that, but I'm like, I'm going to just keep it simple. So I started a Venmo, and I'm like, look, if you like what you hear, and people went on there and actually would just Venmo you money and go, hey, enjoy what I'm listening, leave you a little message. And I ended up getting microphone stands out of that. And
wow.
Yeah, so it was cool. I just wanted to keep it very simple. And then I have something called bonfire.com. I have t-shirts through. It's bonfire.com/planet Earth. What's happening? And it's just a t-shirt with the logo, and that's it. And if you want to buy it, if they sell a certain amount, you get a cut of it. So I probably made like maybe $100 or something off of it. But it's something,
it's
right?
It's a start.
It's a start. And if I put more time and energy into it, like I know I could probably pick up sponsorships and do all that kind of stuff. I was always recommended because where I get my bandwidth from, it's called Buzzsprout. They actually have consultants. You can email back and forth that are experts, so to speak, I guess, in growing your audience and podcasting. And I said, well, how do I obtain sponsorships? And they're like, well, you should probably build an audience first and then look for sponsorships, because if you don't have an audience, really, you're not going to make any money off of sponsorships, because they want you to use like their promo codes. They want you to use like their web link or whatever, where it's, you get like, I'll give you an example. A guy I was talking to, it's called Stark Energy. We were going to do a sponsorship and I would have my own URL /planet Earth. What's happening? Kind of never really materialized it in anything. He got busy. He was supposed to come on the podcast. He's from Pennsylvania. So it's like, materialize in anything, but it's stuff like that. You grow your audience, pick up sponsorships as you go along. If people have interest in you advertising, I wouldn't know what to charge anybody for advertising, but as for right now, I'm just keeping it plain and simple, plain no. Jane.
Well, I mean, it's a tough gig. I mean, really. I mean, you know, Urban Float is my sponsor. They don't pay me anything, though, because the guy that owns Urban Float, he just gives me a lot of good advice. You know, he's just a good guy to just chat with, and you know, he gives me 100%, and I'll take 30% of it away and implement it into what I'm doing. But you know, it's just a great voice to have, and he's been involved in a lot of other businesses. So, you know, but sometimes that non-business style of podcasting that I like, mm-hmm. and then trying to implement business into it, tends to change the podcast, and so that's a struggle too.
Gives
them
an agenda, right?
An agenda, and I'm not as great with agendas. You know, I'm not. And then value and all that other those big words start popping into the conversation, and you're like, oh boy. But it's I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to talk? How long we've been talking? It doesn't even matter. So sports is starting. Football.
Yeah. So. I do. What's my take on football? I'm a Steelers fan.
Okay.
I do.
I like the Steelers.
If you listen to the podcast, I don't talk about it a lot. I talk about things people tend to not be into. I'm into the mixed martial arts. I'm also into English Premier League soccer as well.
There's a lot of people that are into that.
But I do watch, there's some people. I notice in my audience when I do talk about like MMA and soccer, Buzzsprout gives you location maps of where your listeners are from. I have a lot of listeners in Europe.
Isn't that funny?
I just found this out.
I noticed
that
too.
People listen to it in Europe.
Spain.
MMA and soccer especially. Obviously, Europe is like, that's the holy grail over there is football. But over here, I don't know. I like football. I could talk football with people. I just never...
NFL football style.
Yeah. I just never really got into... I guess for fantasy stuff or being a huge fan of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't do any of that either. And in fact, for a long time, you know, I was always a Cowboys fan, and
America's team.
Well, I grew up in New Mexico, so I mean, it literally was the team for everybody that didn't really have a team at the time. And this is, you know, in the 70s and 80s and stuff. So, but the Cowboys, you know, it's like a bad relationship. So I have a few years ago, I decided I'm gonna pick a bunch of teams that I'm gonna follow.
Yeah,
and it's not gonna be just because they were the most popular team at the time, and that's kind of probably why I started following them. So now we follow a bunch of teams. I like Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I like my homeboy.
Yeah.
I like the Steelers, you know. So now that I have a lot of football teams that I like, football's been a little bit more enjoyable.
Yeah.
But football started, and we get all excited preseason, and Dallas played last night. I didn't even watch the game.
Pittsburgh played Tampa Bay the other night. I tell you what, we got a rookie, Devin Bush. He's a rookie linebacker. And that kid can bang, man.
You serious?
He looks pretty good. Devin Bush, number 55, look out for him because he might start as a linebacker. He's a beast.
Well, and this Dallas thing is kind of, this Ezekiel Elliott, he is holding out. Yeah. He's in Mexico training, which absolutely annoys me. But so last night, I felt like they were really checking out running backs.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm rooting for this. This rookie guy, I don't even know his name, but he was apparently doing a lot in preseason. And so they were running him. Hopefully they find something, because that would be really cool to find a new guy.
Yeah. That's what we did. That's what you saw, what Pittsburgh did. Le'Veon Bell, cut him loose.
Who was the guy that was running when Le'Veon Bell was hurt last year?
James Conner.
But he got hurt.
I don't know if he got...
He got hurt. He had that funny haircut. Yeah. It was like a buzz cut, but the back was like a mini mullet.
I tell you, he does. I tell you what, he's got an interesting story. He actually beat cancer. He was diagnosed with cancer. He went to Pittsburgh University, beat it, and ended up getting drafted by the Steelers, I think, in the third or fourth round.
Well, he was tearing it up early in the year last year, and he did get hurt.
Yeah, I don't even know who his backup is. That's pretty bad for a Steelers
fan. Well, hopefully he's back, because I really liked him. So he was one of the reasons I started watching the Steelers last year. He was fierce.
Yeah.
Hopefully he comes back.
It's big shoes to fill when you lose Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, you're going to miss him. Do I miss the attitude? I'm not sure.
Where did he go to? The Raiders?
Jets.
Or the Jets?
No, Antonio Brown went to the Raiders. It's two of them we lost. I mean, you lost two world-class athletes in their positions.
Are you leaving?
And is he coming in?
I love you.
We should get him on.
Sam, don't forget to give Riley the money. but did you lose him? Because honestly, he froze his feet.
Yeah.
And now he's like, I'm not going to play unless I can play with my old helmet.
Yeah.
And I guess they've changed the new helmet law or the new helmet rules for this year.
I believe so, yeah.
So sounds like he's not really going to be doing too much for the Raiders, because he froze his feet in a cryosphere.
Something like that. Yeah, but he wanted more money. I mean, that's pretty much what it was. He was doing double duty. He was a world-class running back, but he could also catch very well. He was very good.
Well, he's a good football player.
Good football player. I mean, you're gonna miss him. Do I say, we don't need him? No. That guy was world-class. He was the best all-around back in the league, in my opinion. But he wanted money. He wanted double. He thought he was doing double duty. That was his opinion.
Hold on.
He wanted that double duty pay. That's what he wanted.
Yeah.
The Roonies, they're not like that. They're not going to give you this giant deal. They're very working class, old school guys that are like, we won championships. We've won five of them this way, this business model we've been projecting since the 1970s. It's worked for us before. It'll continue to work for us. We're not going to pay you these big bucks that you want. It was unfortunate. I mean, but hey, end of the day.
Well, at some point that starts to become a real distraction to the whole team. And then
it breaks
like,
things up in the locker room.
Yeah, and then it's like, I hate to use the word cancer, but it's kind of like having cancer. It just starts eating away at the team. I mean, Dallas goes through that all the time. Every year they're having somebody holding out.
Yeah.
But it's a tough business because, you're around and then, like, I was watching preseason, and a lot of these guys were starting a lot of their starters.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you get hurt in preseason, and then you're, like, traded.
Yeah. And where's the motivation anymore? I mean, with Antonio Brown, it's unfortunate because we had two tumors
in the locker room at the same time. And they wanted more money. I get it. And Le'Veon Bell, I think, wanted more money, but he also wanted a long-term deal. We had issues with him in the past, so they weren't giving him long-term deals. I mean, his rookie year, he got suspended. He got a DUI smoking weed. Then the year later, he missed a drug test. He mandatory drug screening. He didn't go to it. He got suspended for it.
Yeah.
So do Rooney's look at things like that? I'm sure they do. They're like, look, is this guy going to just be a problem? He's a fantastic athlete, but if he's a problem, we don't need him here. San Antonio Holmes was a world-class receiver we had when we won the Super Bowl in 2006. Caught like the game-winning touchdown against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Fantastic receiver. We sent him to the Jets because he kept getting arrested. He got in trouble for possession of weed and all this, you know, dumb shit, really, in the grand scheme of things. But he was causing problems for the organization.
And, you know, and if you're a Steelers fan, you're going to watch the Steelers play football every year regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not like, oh, they're gone, I'm not watching anymore. I've been watching the Cowboys every year since, I don't know, I was a little kid.
Of course. And you don't want to be a bandwagon jumper, right? You just, you're like, look, I'm stuck to this team. I know a lot of people that are Patriots fans that are just, I'm like, you weren't a Patriots fan 5 years ago. What are you talking about?
Right.
You were a Titans fan. Now all of a sudden you're a New England Patriots fan. Oh, well, I like this player, so I follow him. Wherever he goes, I go, or something like that, something silly.
Well, and that's kind of our stance this year. We're just liking a whole bunch of people. That way we don't have to worry.
It's an interesting way to look at it. We were for the Giants. I mean, that's home team technically for us because I grew up in New Jersey. So it's either you were a Giants or Jets fan, and I have all my uncles and stuff. They were big Giants fans. But my dad was the one that was like, I like the Steelers.
What do you think is going to happen with Eli?
I don't know. I got to tell you, man, a good buddy of mine, he's a huge Giants fan. He just wished they'd just cut him loose.
Mm-hmm.
But he won you two Super Bowls, and he's got to know a thing or two about playing that quarterback position. So I keep him around the mentor, at least a younger guy. At the end of the day, Eli Manning won that organization two Super Bowls. Tom Coughlin did as well. I'm sure the combination of the two.
Well,
really
Peyton
helped.
Won a lot too, but his time ran out.
Yeah. Eli, it's coming to a close because he got drafted the same year Ben did. He got drafted to the Chargers, then he got traded to the Giants. And Ben Roethlisberger and him. Ben Roethlisberger's another one, man. I tell you what, I went and saw him play 2 years ago in Washington. It was a preseason game against the Redskins. First game, first preseason game, he's got like a permanent hobble to him.
Yep.
He's banged up. And I mean, he had a motorcycle accident years ago, too, when he first.
Remember when he got his nose broke?
Yeah.
Dude, it was like sideways.
Yeah.
I mean, he kept playing.
They said him and Tony Romo, I think, were the most like abused quarterbacks in the league. They just got destroyed all the time.
Well, the problem with Ben is he gets broken, but he keeps playing. Where Tony, he gets crunched and then he couldn't play. It was always like a collarbone or something that just took him out. I'd be like, oh my God. Now there goes the whole season.
Yeah. So Ben and Eli got drafted, I think it was 2005, because Ben won his Super Bowl in 2006 because Tommy Maddox got hurt. He came in against the Patriots, I believe. And, there was Ben Roethlisberger from here on out. That was it. And then, 2005, I believe that was. So he's been around a while, going on 15 seasons.
Hmm. Well, I love football. I'm glad it's starting.
I'm glad I can still talk it, too.
Yeah, and I love summer, but summer's kind of winding down, and then football starts. And then it's like I don't pay enough attention to football, and then all of a sudden it's a Super Bowl, and you're like, damn, that was quick. Yeah. I missed a bunch. Did I miss something here?
It's like summer. I'm about to have a third grader. I'm like, wow, you're done with summer camp this week. And he goes to the Y down in Rehoboth. And I'm like, you're going into third grade in the next few weeks.
Where is he going to get school at?
Long Neck Elementary.
Okay.
He was in Georgetown. Long Neck, since I've gone there at least, when I first moved down here from New Jersey, I went to Long Neck. And they were always like a blue ribbon recognized school. So we try to get them at least somewhere local. My wife and I do want to venture out to the Rehoboth-Lewis area.
Mm-hmm.
I was just actually telling her this yesterday. We were at the beach over at Herring Point, and all the kids were over there skimboarding and surfing. And like kids my son's age, I'm like, I'd love for him to grow up near the beach. You know what I mean? There's just nothing like it. I know it's a little bit more money to live out this way, but if we can venture out closer to this way, we will.
Well, but I mean,
good community out here.
We live near the beach, and none of my kids skimboard.
Really?
I mean, I think it's...
Well, not that. It's just I feel like in the community, maybe because we're in, we used to have a lot of kids, but then all of them left. Mm-hmm. So there's like a few. And my son's 8. He gets bored to tears really quick. He wakes up in the morning and he wants to go.
Mm.
And if there's no kids to play with, it's what do you do? You
know, Daddy
we
have a trampoline. Daddy Day.
Daddy Day. And that's what it ends up becoming, which I love it. But I'm like, this kid needs friends. My youngest is going to need friends. My soon-to-be baby born in November, being or due in November, is going to need friends too. So if I can venture out this way, I like the Rehoboth, Lewis area. It's good community out here.
Well, and Rehoboth just built a new school, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And someone was posting pictures of it, and then there's, you know, this, always you got the guy that's going to complain. You know, they wasted money designing it. You know, they made angles. They spent extra money making angles. It's like, what? I go, you know, the shitbox that those kids have been going to school in for the last, you know, my dad played basketball.
I wrestled at Rehoboth Elementary.
Yeah. I mean, the school's been, they used it to the fullest. They got everything out of it. Yeah. I said, at least this new school will look good in 80 years when they decide to build another new school. I mean, design, it's like,
or it could for be the like, kids. Or it could be like the Indian River School District and build a school, and 12 years later, you need to build another school because they didn't design it properly.
Right,
you
know exactly. What I mean? Made it too small.
Made what it too small. Thinking? Yeah.
Well, listen, bro, we've been talking for an hour.
We can go, man. We're roguing it out today.
We're going heavy.
Yeah.
But I got to go.
Yeah, I.
I got to go fishing, and I got to go to the beach today.
I got
to
go bow shooting.
But let's say, you know, let's keep working together. You know, let's keep, for you sure. know, let's keep doing this. If you ever need someone to come on your podcast, I'm always available.
I'd love it.
Like I said, whether we want to collaborate and do something as more of a team but, you know, let's keep supporting one another because it's tough out here by ourselves.
It's hard out there for a pimp, man.
It's hard out there for a pimp. I hear you. All right, man. Well, listen, have a great day.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking some of your Sunday and spending it with me.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it.
It's a good time.
All right, brother.
See you, man.
Bye.